People suffering from a great loss in their lives often need to know that they are not alone. The phrase, "you are not alone," gets repeated a great deal around funerals and ends up on sympathy cards. And the sense of not experiencing grief alone is a cornerstone of recovery for many people. It is also the main method of the nonprofit Winter Spring Center in the Rogue Valley, which is all about getting people through the worst of the grieving. Dr. Hogan Chereau is the executive director of Winter Spring and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in the studio. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So the organization is hitting a milestone this year, I understand. 30 years doing what you're doing. How did it get started?
We're at our 30-year anniversary. I can't take hardly any credit for that. I've only been there for about a year. Winter Spring got started actually by several nurses in the area who were working in grieving and realized that the services available just weren't sufficient and that people needed something more.
What is the significance of the name Winter Spring? I mean, I guess we could sort of put our own stuff on there, but
there's
an original story.
It's a little self-explanatory, I think, but at the same time, it's all about when you're in the middle of a loss, you're kind of at the depths. And so for a lot of people, it feels like a cold, barren existence. And so that's the winter component of it. And then spring is basically learning to live again. What we've figured out over the years and what the organization has figured out, and a lot of research has backed up, is that you don't ever get over loss and you don't ever stop grieving. You learn a different way to live.
That's why I was really hesitant in introducing this segment to not say you get over your grief, because you really don't. You get through the worst of it, it seems. Is that basically the approach?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, we're, you know, I think far too often we hear the "get over it" phrase to people at some point. It's kind of like people lose their patience with people who are grieving. And I think what people need to understand is that it's an ongoing process. And I like to think of it as sort of moving like the ocean in waves, where you can have that kind of low tide and you're totally fine for a while, and then high tide. And here in Oregon, we often get those sneaker waves, and those will hit people who are grieving years later.
That's a good analogy, because I've heard that from other people I know who are still grieving the loss of loved ones, and the fact that a couple of years later, you know, some memory will trigger. They'll look at some picture, they'll hear some song, and then something will come back over them again.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I hesitate to ask what is probably a fairly stupid question, but is grieving always about death, or do people grieve sometimes other losses in their lives, loss of relationship, loss of home, things like that?
That's an excellent question. When Winter Spring first started out, it was all about the loss of a loved one. And again, experience over the years. And I think especially our children's programs and our youth programs have taught us this, because often they don't know what they're grieving about. And so what we find is that a lot of people are grieving the loss of, you know, everything from a loved pet to the loss of a family situation. I recently interacted with a young person who was showing real signs of grief over the fact that they had lost their entire social network when their parents had moved them from the school they were in. And the same kind of reaction happens.
Your statement on the web says that you help children, teens, and adults in that order. Do more young people come to you for services than adults?
No, we're kind of balanced. Mm-hmm. Winter Spring first started out with adult programs, and that's kind of the core of what we do. But over the years, we've seen that need for youth grow more and more. And I think it's only increasing. So in the future, we'll probably have more youth programs. Last year alone, we had a 39% increase in demand for youth services.
Dr. Hogan Chereau is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of the Winter Spring Center in the Rogue Valley, about transforming grief and loss. If you have questions about the grieving process or the offerings of Winter Spring, by all means, give us a call at 800-838-3760. We use first names only. You can also send an email, first names only, to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Hogan, people say a lot of things when someone dies. You know, call me anytime, this too shall pass. I mean, what are some of the important things to remember if you are the person grieving?
I think the first thing to remember is what you started the show with, that people are not alone. You know, one of the things I like to remind everyone of is if you live long enough, we're all going to suffer some sort of loss and grief. It's just going to happen. The other thing to remember is that grief is completely normal. It's not an abnormal thing. People are not, they're not deficient in some way because they're grieving. And if it goes on for a while, that's normal too. And then the other thing I would say is that help is out there, that there are services. If what we do is group work, if we determine that someone isn't ready for group work, we have a whole host of counselors and therapists that we've worked with over the years that we refer people to. And so there's individual work, there's group work that's available. And at Winter Spring, no one is turned away for financial reasons or any other reason.
I was going to ask you about the individual versus group. So the individual work is not done under the auspices of Winter Spring. You basically have people you refer that to, you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. We are not licensed therapists in any way and don't have any on staff, but we have many that we work with and that we trust, and we make referrals all the time for folks.
So with no licensed therapist, this really is a group experience in the true sense of, I don't know, discovery, I guess, as a group. I mean, you're not like, this is not a directed kind of thing. It's like as the group dynamic moves.
Yeah, we, in our groups, especially our adult groups, we have a framework. So say a group will be a spousal loss group. So obviously everyone there has lost a spouse. That will be the framework. We have a kind of curriculum set up of things to cover, but it's really directed by the group. And it's an amazing experience to be a part of.
In what sense amazing?
I think that these groups allow people to really get to the core of what's going on with them, and they expose themselves in a way that they could only do in a group where they feel safe and where they feel like they're connected to other people because of a shared experience.
So people can open up better in a circumstance in which they feel like the people who they're with are people who had that same circumstance.
I think absolutely. Almost all of our facilitators are people who have experienced the type of loss or the type of grief that we're dealing with in the group.
When people seek out Winter Spring, is it often early in the process? Is it often if they've, you know, bumped along for a year or so and just want to feel quote unquote normal again or something? I mean, I'm curious about when they actually seek you out in their own grieving.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think for a lot of folks, early in the process is too soon for group work. They haven't had time to reflect. They haven't had time to kind of sit with what's happened. Whatever type of loss that may be. So for most, if they contact us very early on, we give them a referral to someone who can help them individually. A lot of folks need several months, but there's a ton of variation there. It depends on the person. You know, some people, especially people who have been in group work before or have been in therapy before, will often be group ready right away.
So I wonder what it says about us as a society that we do all experience grief, and yet we don't always seem to have a great amount of patience for people who are experiencing it when we are not.
I've been thinking about that a lot over the past year. I'm trained as an anthropologist, and so I often think of human connections and kind of human universals and what we all share in common. And I had never worked in grief work before, and one of the lessons that I've learned is that I think a lot of folks' own trauma and their own issues prevent them from just talking about loss and grief in a way that is kind of open and accepting and open-ended. I think, you know, I lost my father 2 years ago, and I've been fortunate that the people in my life have understood when they call me up and say, hey, do you want to get together for a barbecue? And I'm like, not today. It's just not going to happen. They get it. And I've been fortunate to have those people in my life, but I don't think that we all experience that.
Hogan Shiro, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of the Winter Spring Center in the Rogue Valley, turning 30 this year. He's been with it for a year. You can join the conversation as we talk about grieving, the grieving process, and the people who assist us in finding our way through the worst part of grief, perhaps. It doesn't end, as we've talked about a few times now. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email here from Becca in Lane County, who says, years ago when my husband died, I signed up for a spouse's grief group. The first night I went to the group at a hospital, came down the hall and heard laughter from the room. I was so relieved to hear that people can get to that point again. Thanks for that, Becca.
Absolutely. It's, again, having only been in this for a year, one of the things that I've been really almost blown away by is the way that people have learned to deal with their grief and figure out that life can continue. They can find a new way to live. And what they end up doing is they end up really celebrating the person that they loved or the situation they were in. You know, one of the things that I often remind people of is that grief is a byproduct of those deep feelings that we have for someone or for a situation. And so one of the things that I like to do is help people move towards remembering those happy times and the things that they really loved. And that ends up being, a big help for a lot of people.
So you can focus on the things that make you smile and make you laugh about the person and not the fact that the person's not there anymore.
Yeah, I think there's a duality. You have to do both.
So I noticed several notices on the web about groups recently ending and new ones starting up in the fall, which makes this sound like summer's kind of a slack time for winter, spring. If someone is grieving and needs support now, how do you assist them?
Well, summer is typically a slow time for winter, spring, mostly because the people who are going to take part in groups are traveling and aren't around. However, we've gotten several requests this year, and so we may be opening up a general bereavement group, which would get people through the summer. Also, if people are in need right now, anyone who contacts winter, spring, we'll get them with the right services. And if we have to, we'll figure out a way for them to get the services they need.
You talked about a general bereavement group, and I do notice a great variety of programs available through winter, spring. So, I mean, how varied are the offerings in terms of how you group people together for the grieving process?
I've got an amazing staff. I inherited a really, really amazing staff who works very hard to make sure that they get things right. And our adult program manager, she is fantastic, Ji Young Kim. And G works with people to figure out which group works for them, what group fits for them. And a lot of times the people who call in have a real sense. You know, they call in and they say, hey, I mean, some of them are pretty obvious. I lost a child. Okay, we know which group you're probably going to go into. Some of them are cumulative loss, and that's a separate group in itself.
Cumulative loss, so but they've had multiple losses in their lives. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a client last year who had lost 7 people over the last 3 years.
Wow.
And so, that person was in that group.
Grab your headphones because we have a phone call here I want to bring into the conversation. We're talking to Hogan Shiro, at Winter Spring, and here's Ellen in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Ellen.
Thank you.
Hi, go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I would just like to go back to the question that you posed before about how do we as a society deal with grief? And, you know, it's amazing what Winter Spring does, but it's still kind of taking the individual and giving them individual services. And an amazing community member that we have is putting on a movie tonight that she produced herself through her experience with grief when her 3-year-old son died 7 years ago. She traveled to Mexico in order to find out about what goes on there, where, you know, there's the Day of the Dead and there's this entire society that accepts death and celebrates the spirit of the people who have gone, and everyone comes and, you know.
A different cultural look at death is what you're saying.
Yeah. And so she put this entire thing together herself with fundraising, and it's going to be tonight at 6:30 at the Unitarian Church in Ashland. And the name of the, if you want to look at it online and see a little, the trailer, it's called Remember, Remember, and her name is Victoria Markham.
Yeah, Victoria called during our first Friday Arts segment last Friday to let us know about this. So I'm glad you brought it up, because one of the things we didn't mention was the name of the film. So Remember, with a colon between Re and Member, tonight at 6:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Highly recommended for this conversation. And, you know, if you can make it there too, Hogan, it's pretty amazing what she's done. It's a game changer for our society, where we're all kind of separately doing our grieving, and everybody's saying, oh, why are you still grieving? How come you can't get over it? This whole, you know, like the waves thing that you were talking about. So I just like to say, I'd like to honor her and her own process, and also her work that she has done selflessly and tirelessly for this entire conversation in our society.
All right. Thank you so much, Ellen. Appreciate that. So the idea of get over it, there we are again, because you mentioned that yourself at the beginning. So there is a societal expectation that you get. I don't know, what is, have you figured out as an anthropologist what people expect of us? Is it 6 months, 12 months, 18, and then you're done grieving?
I don't know if there's a timetable that we kind of have ingrained in our society, but I think a lot of it goes along. Victoria has done amazing work, and thanks, Ellen, for the phone call. And I actually plan to be there tonight if I can make it. One of the things I'd like to say about that really quickly is that I think one of the things that Ellen maybe had a misconnection about is that Winter Spring, that's actually what we do, is group people together, is to bring community together. And get people to form a community where our whole goal is to make it where we can talk about grief and where people can work as a community. I think that going back to the cultural part, I tend to think about, you know, our whole push in America of get back to work. Think of how short our maternity leaves are. Think of how short any of our family leaves are. There's an expectation of get back to your life, get back to be part of the machine.
Do this, get it done, and then do this again.
Yeah. And I think this is another part of it.
So I'm going to take a few more minutes here with Hogan Chereau on the Jefferson Exchange from the Winter Spring Center, Transforming Grief and Loss, based in the Rogue Valley, turning 30 years old this year. You can join the conversation on the exchange, as a couple of people have already, to talk about how we grieve, how we observe others grieve. I mean, anything is on the table here. 800-838-3760 to join by phone. By email is jx@jeffnet.org. I noticed in the groups that you have shown on the website that you have one group, for example, for grieving a child, and then a different group for grieving a child lost to suicide. I mean, are the circumstances so very different? I mean, is there just a lot more tied up when there was a suicide involved?
Yeah, there's a different level that is kind of a different layer that's put on. I don't want to say a different level because I don't want to categorize anyone's level of grief, but a different layer that's put on with suicide. And a lot of that is to the near epidemic that we have of suicides, especially among the youth in Oregon and across the country. And so what we've found is that there is this different layer, but also there's just a different need. Again, it's that group of shared experiences where we had the demand, where there were so many parents who had lost children to suicide that they kind of needed their own group so they could talk about that specific component. And I think there is a difference between, you know, your child taking their own life and completing suicide as opposed to, an accident.
You mentioned that nobody is turned away if they can't pay, but is there a charge? And for the people who can't pay, how do you provide services? Because they're quite extensive, obviously.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit, and our funding comes from donations and grants, and about 50-50. And so we really rely on the support of the public, and we write grants for our programs. And the grants help to supplement for folks who can't afford it. If it's an adult program, the program fees vary depending on the length of the program. But there are what we call our scholarships available.
Let's take a final call here from Al in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Hogan Chereau from Winter Spring.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Jeff. You know, the best teaching I've really heard about grief is a mystical teaching, which states that grief is a form of love, and we only grieve things that we love. And therefore, if we look at it, it's not really look at it, it's real. I mean, when you experience grief, you can taste the love in it. You can feel it. It's right there. And it's kind of like bittersweet. And but that's what it is. We're just declaring our love for someone in a different way.
All right, Al, thanks for sharing that. I very much appreciate it. Hogan, I'm sure that's right up the alley of what you deal with at Winter Spring. You're talking about the same sort of thing. You wouldn't feel the grief if you didn't feel the love.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with Al 100% that grief is just sort of the B-side of love.
So we're down to our last minute or so, and I just want to ask, what are the important things to remember if we know someone who is grieving, how we can be of assistance, how we can help?
Yeah, if you're around someone who's grieving, someone that you care about that's grieving, I would say first thing, put them in touch with Winter Spring. Get our phone number, 541-552-0620, or winterspring.org, and get them in touch with us. We will help them. And then remember, don't put a timetable on their grief.
It is not going to be over in 6 months or 12 months or any specified time period. And in fact, as we talked about with the sneaker waves, when the tide is way out, stuff can still come in.
That's right.
Long after you expect it. All right. So I didn't even get a chance to ask about the camp for kids for this summer, but all kinds of things going on at Winter Spring. Hogan Chereau has been the executive director for about a year, and there are 29 years of Winter Spring before him. Thanks so much for visiting the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.